1 Samuel 19:24. And he also stripped off his clothes and lay down naked all that day and all that night. If the president of our country took off all his clothes and laid down on a public sidewalk or a public road for several hours, that would be big news. This is exactly what the king of Israel did, King Saul. We do not expect our leaders, male or female, young or old, to be naked or nearly naked in public. If that's what we believe about our leaders, what about for the average citizen? There are, when you think about modesty, a lot of different ideas, sometimes even among Christians. In fact, I would suggest that this is such a hot button topic in some places that there are preachers who don't talk about it ever, or they rarely discuss it. Modesty is a topic which is addressed in the Bible. It is a Christian topic, and this is a topic that we should not run away from. If we do not discuss it, if we do run away from the topic, then of course we let the world define what modesty is, and that is a real problem. When it comes to modesty, most people would say we do need to draw a line somewhere. Somehow, we need to have some kind of definition. There needs to be a standard. Well, the question becomes, who's going to come up with that definition? Who's going to define the standard? Is it going to be God? Is the standard going to be defined by the government? Or are we going to say we're going to let it be dependent on society? We'll just look at a particular country, whatever the majority of people believe in that country, that's going to be our standard. After we decide who the authority is going to be, then we are faced with a second issue, and that is, how is the line for violating the standard going to be determined? Now, I used a slide because the one that I could best depict modesty with happened to be this one in my judgment. It happens to feature female attire, but we're going to deal with modesty from the perspective of males and females today, and from the slide we see that there are a wide range of choices. Now, before we go any further, let me just kind of put down a little marker here and make this point. I do not want anyone to walk away today and think, well, the information that was said today was just for females. And someone might even say it was not just for females, it was for younger females. There have been over the years some men who had good intentions, and when they addressed the subject of modesty, they focused solely or primarily on women and men lusting after scanty attire. Well, that can be a problem. I want to take a more generalized approach today and deal with this from a somewhat different perspective. Someone might say, well, you're just talking about women. Well, that's why I included this next slide. I'm not going to tell you exactly the name of this guy, but I will tell you a little about this fellow. He is obviously a male. He is clearly not a young man, and he was arrested. He was arrested in our state within the last year, and he was arrested for exposed flesh. Now, if I had no other slides, and I could certainly offer some, this establishes that when we deal with the issue of modesty, it is not just a female problem. It is not just a problem for younger females. It is an issue for males and sometimes older males. It is not uncommon as we look at life for people to try to push various boundaries. We've seen that with some of the young people, some of the dissent, some of the riots on campuses throughout the U.S., and we also see this in the area of clothing. This is a problem sometimes not only from the saved, but also from those who are Christians. Christians should not be pushing boundaries in areas where the Bible instructs them on how to live. Moving down a little bit more, as you think about what the Bible has to say concerning the Christian life, God says there needs to be a separation. Heaven says there needs to be a distinction between how we live and how the world lives. In 2 Corinthians 17, Paul expressed the point this way. Therefore, he says, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate. There is a standard, there is a way of life for the world, and God says that his people are not to abide by that standard. If in the area of modesty or the lack thereof in modesty, we see that, we understand what that is, God says you as a Christian, you do not live in that kind of way. We do not need to get very old before we're exposed to the world standard of modesty. We see it on TV, we can see it on the web, we can see it as people are out in public places, and for many that standard is the less the better way of dress is the right way in their minds to live. And that again is true not only for females, it's also true for males. Sometimes minimal clothing is defended because of temperature. You may have heard someone say, well, I don't dress with a lot of clothing because it's hot right now. Imagine if we justified other behavior, sometimes criminal activity, based on temperature. That would make no sense. That is not a good argument. That's not a good standard when it comes to modesty. Now, as you look at this topic, if a dozen preachers were to preach on this topic, one of the places where they might not go is the book of Revelation. But we do have some information in Revelation, believe it or not, that deals with the subject of modesty. It's in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 18. Looking at the latter part of that, God says to this congregation that you might clothe yourself. Why? He says at the end of the verse that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. Now, I'm going to come back to this slide in just a minute. But before I do that, let's take a look at what we have over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. And they went out to see what had come to pass, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons were gone out, sitting clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 8, Luke joins two things together. He joins clothing with the person being in his right mind. If you back up a little bit in Luke chapter 8, you find in verse 27 the statement that this man was previously not wearing any clothing. You also find, if you back up in this chapter a little bit, that this fellow, for a period of time, he was under the devil's influence or control. One consequence in Luke chapter 8 for being strongly influenced by the devil was nudity. This guy was not wearing any clothing. As you look at Luke chapter 8, when this fellow gets his thinking corrected, when he is back in his right mind, he comes to the understanding, he has the realization that he needs to get clothed. Well, that's exactly what you find back in the book of Revelation that we were at just a minute ago in Revelation chapter 3. When people want to run around half naked in public, when they want to be immodest, they are not thinking correctly. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are crazy. It does mean that their thinking is crooked. And maybe they've never been taught better. Maybe they don't know any better. But their thinking is off. If and when Christians dress in an immodest way, they only compound the problem that exists in the world. We cannot dress in an immodest way and expect that people who are in spiritual darkness, that they're going to find the light. Temperatures have finally warmed up. And like clockwork, some clothes are coming off. One of the places where we're, depending on who and where we go, one of the places where we're going to be exposed to this kind of thing would be a wedding. I don't know who came up with this, but I think it's a great point. There is nothing uglier, one said, than an immodest bride who leaves nothing to the imagination. As you look at those words, focusing on the end, leaving nothing to the imagination, I suspect that that observation was made by a non-Christian instead of a Christian. But at least the first part of the comment is exactly right. A woman who gets married, and this is true for the whole bridal party, but since we've got a picture of a bride up here, she, her attendants, the people who are males in the wedding party, they should be modest on the wedding day. This is not a time to parade flesh before all the wedding guests. If you get married, one of my suggestions would be, based on what we already saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, one of your first criteria as you start to look at clothing, find something that's modest. You might be concerned about color. You might be concerned about style. A lot of things might be on your criteria list, but pay attention to modesty. One of man's most long-standing issues with God has been in the area of modesty. Before sin entered into the world, people weren't wearing any clothing. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 25 makes that clear. And they were both, that's Adam and Eve, the only two people who existed, they were both naked. The whole human population for a while wasn't wearing any clothing. And the Bible says they were not ashamed. After sin enters into the world, things change. Moving down to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam says, after he realizes what's going on, I was afraid. Why? I was afraid because I was naked. Adam had that understanding. He had that realization that no clothing was a big problem. Knowledge is an interesting thing. Knowledge can be lost for various reasons. It is possible for knowledge to be mixed with error. It is possible to have knowledge and people don't share or transmit that knowledge. They just keep it to themselves. If males and females are not taught about modesty, they will make up their own standard. And we have a lot of that going on in the world. In so many ways, our world has already made up its standard for modesty. Sometimes from the government, sometimes from peers. In ancient times, people had a standard for modesty, just like now. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 4, so Hanan took David's men, shaved off half of each man's beard, and cut off their clothes. But notice where the clothes were cut. Cut off the clothes from the waist down. In other words, their backsides were exposed. And that was a way to publicly humiliate or shame people. In our day and time, we have a similar thing. We have people exposing flesh. Sometimes it's just immodest, and sometimes it falls into the area of criminal activity. Some years back, we hadn't been in the subdivision too long, and we had the police show up. The police showed up in force. We had about 7 police cars roll in. I thought somebody had been murdered. It was nudity. The cops showed up because we had a couple that happened to be naked. All those cops rolled in and they got out the blankets. And they covered those people in blankets before they were brought out. If you deal with folks in the medical profession and they go to a scene of an accident where someone has clothing removed or there is exposed flesh, it's not uncommon for the medical people, the first responders, to also cover up flesh. Isn't it interesting that we have the police saying you got to be covered? Medical responders will show up and they will say the flesh has to be covered. But in life, we have people wearing clothing which exposes the same flesh. That's not consistent. When people think and talk about modesty, it's almost associated always with life on earth. But let's look at it from a slightly different perspective for just a moment. Have we ever thought about what heaven will be like? We know that there are times where people can be immodest on the earth, but is it going to be a problem as far as immodesty in heaven? Is that even addressed in the Bible? Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed. Well, that's interesting. We desire to be clothed. We have that earnest desire upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, there's that word again, we shall not be found naked. Now we have, even in this state, some places where you can find a nudist camp. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says that heaven is not going to be anything like that. There are on this earth immodestly clothed people. Heaven is going to be different. God does not see heaven as a place which is proper or right for immodesty. Now, that's true for that eternal spiritual realm. What should our thinking be when it comes to this earth? When it comes to showing off flesh, there's an interesting verse back in the book of Lamentations, and we don't use that book too often, but there are some great passages in it. Let's take a look at this one. And this one I want to look at in reverse order. Let's take a look at what's highlighted in blue, then we'll back up and see what is highlighted in yellow. God says, because they have seen her nakedness. Well, there was a consequence. God says, because or for, in view of the fact that they have seen her nakedness, all that honored her, God said, we're going to despise her. Now, if you look at the context, here's what's being said. The nakedness, of course, is simply a way of describing the sins of God's people. Prior to other people seeing the sins of God's people, they had thought good things about the Jews. They had held them in high esteem. Why, these people are wonderful. These people are special. These people are unique. These people need to be honored. But God says, after they saw your nakedness, after they saw your sins, that honor they had for you was turned to dishonor. The glory that they would have given to you has been turned into the opposite. Well, here is an important principle, an important Bible principle when it comes to modesty. At some point, those who show off their flesh can show too much. They can give too much away. If and when that happens, Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 8 says that people are going to lose respect for you. People are going to lose interest in you. Think about the bride that we had the picture of earlier. Do you know that there are people who have gone to a wedding? And the bride and the groom and hope for the wedding party, they're thinking, we hope people had a positive experience at the wedding. But you know, I guarantee you, there have been some people who have gone home and the discussion on the way home was, did you see how the bride was dressed? Sleazy dress by the bride. Sleazy, immodest dress by the wedding party. Males, and perhaps the females as well. If you get married, don't leave your guests with that kind of wedding picture and memory. Paul spoke about a similar matter when he wrote to the Corinthians. And again, this is a passage which we want to look at in reverse order. I've got a paraphrase up here to really make the point. Paul says there are parts of the body which should not be seen. Now that's what you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23. That's not some preacher coming up with this. That's not some commentator on a local news channel. That is God. He says there are some parts of the body which should not be seen. Now somebody says, well, I can't really find that in my Bible. My Bible uses the word uncomely. Well, that's an older word, but that's what that word means. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23. And after saying that, if we back up, Paul says those parts which should not be seen. Paul says you protect those parts. You cover those parts. Well, it's possible to protect something and we do a sloppy job of it. Paul says that's not what we need to do when it comes to the body and the area of modesty. He says you take those parts and you carefully protect those parts. when modesty is discussed, there are people, sometimes preachers, perhaps others, who will say, now wait a minute, hold on. Modesty is driven by culture. There are people who, if you go to another culture, there would be some parts of the bodies that would be exposed there, and people have no sexual connotation there, but you come over to this country, and people see things differently. Well, it is possible, as we look at cultures, we are certainly in a global world, and it is true that people have different ideas, different beliefs, different practices, and different laws, perhaps greatly when we deal with the other part, the other half of the world. But as you look at Scripture, you find that God also addresses this. In fact, this is addressed in the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Corinthians, the women, in this particular case, they were living in an area where head coverings were a problem. If a woman did not wear a head covering, she was regarded as immodest. And bear in mind that this head covering was not something like we see sometimes in our area where there's a little doily on a head. That is not a head covering in the sense of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When we talk about a head covering, we are talking about a head which is literally covered. And if that was not done, that was not modest. And Paul, as he deals with that situation, he says to the Corinthians, you need to respect your culture. If this is going to be regarded as immodest, if this is going to be seen as ungodly, if this is going to be seen as unrighteousness, you need to avoid that. Again, come out and be separate from people. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Modest dress means paying especially close attention to those private parts and carefully protecting them. Do you know what the world says, though? It is the devil's will when it comes to the world. That is, you expose as much of the body as you can get away with and not get arrested or maybe upset your friends. We have two very different standards when it comes to modesty, and we cannot obey both. Man was made in the image of God. That's one of the first things that we read about in the Bible. There are people today whose thinking is crooked. They do not see much of a difference when it comes to man and animals, but we are not the same. God did not design clothing for animals. Now, I know that there are people who like to put clothing on their dogs, pets, and maybe even their parakeet, but God did not set things up in that way. Clothing was for people, and God didn't give clothing so that people would avoid problems like sunburn and frostbite. You know, it might be a new thought for people, but God pays attention to how people dress. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Moreover, Jehovah said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, they're proud. And they walk with outstretched necks, and they have wanton, they have those seductive and those wandering eyes, and they walk and they mince as they go, and they make a tingling with their feet. Now, Isaiah was describing some women who dressed and they acted seductively. These women, they eyed the crowds, they were looking for men, and they wanted attention. For the women who did this, they must have thought that it was a lot of fun, that this was great fun. And perhaps if these women had been questioned about their behavior, had they been faulted for their behavior, they might have thrown up their hands and said, oh, we're not doing anything wrong. We're even wearing modest clothing. At worst, it's just a little innocent flirting. Here's what verse 17 says. Therefore, that's a conclusion. The Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and Jehovah will lay bare their secret parts. God said, if you want to engage in seductive behavior, God's going to give you something for your head, and it's not going to be a head. God says, I'm going to give you a big scab, a big, ugly scab. And then God said to these women, he said, I'm going to lay bare. I'm going to expose your secret parts. When modesty is addressed, so many times, and preachers have been guilty of this, it is often regarded as an attack on women. I understand why that conclusion is drawn. And unfortunately, that is perhaps the way that most people have addressed this subject. But in reality, when we talk about modesty, as we think about modesty, especially from a biblical perspective, we're talking about upholding the dignity of people, male and female, especially ladies. Christians, especially females, don't want to be cheapened by the standards of the world. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul said, one of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, idle gluttons. The person that Paul cited said that the people in this item, they were lazy, they were liars, and they were gluttons. When we come to America, males and females, what can we say when it comes to modesty? Well, we can also assess our culture. We can say that in our country, we live in a sexually charged society. We have a lot of immorality, and we also have plenty of immodesty. We can't get away from our society. We are going to be at one point or another surrounded by this stuff. But we can say we're not going to conform to the standard that we find in the world. Our nation, believe it or not, influences other countries. In some ways, our beliefs, our values, and our actions, they affect and they influence other countries in the world. We export a lot of stuff, but we export more than more manufactured goods. We've also, for many years, been exporters of nakedness and immodesty. We can influence countries around the world in the area of immorality, or we can be a standard for modest dress. I suspect that for a lot of people, perhaps in the younger years especially, immodesty is seen as playful, it's seen as fun, and it's also regarded as harmless. But immodesty, I'll tell you this too, and you don't have to live very long before you find this. Immodesty has caused some married men to look at women and be involved with women other than their wives. Immodesty has caused some men to get into not just trouble, but a lot of trouble. Immodesty has encouraged, as we think about it, people to be immodest as well. Their friends, their fellow associates, sometimes even the church. Immodesty has caused some people to be attracted to the wrong kind of marriage partner. Immodesty is a problem for males and females. Discussions about modesty are relevant in today's world. In fact, about 2 hours after I drafted this material, someone sent me this news story. Paradise Adventure. This nude cruise is due to set sail from Miami in 2025. A naked cruise. Now, this Bare Necessities cruise, as you look at it, has some interesting fine print. Let's take a look at that as well. Bare cruisers shouldn't expect an entirely clothes-free experience. Even the world draws some lines when it comes to nudity and immodesty. Society tries to create its own line, and yet that line that it tries to create is never clear. God's line is pretty clear. We saw it from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23. There are parts, God says, which should not be seen. And maybe that's going to be adjusted a little bit from culture to culture. There have been some cultures where the ankle was looked upon as a very sensuous part of the body. So if we were in that kind of culture, we would want to pay special attention to that. But we want to carefully protect those parts of the body. This subject is a hot button issue for a lot of places. And it's been a hot button topic for a lot of time. I'll tell you this. True story. There was a congregation many years ago that had a heated discussion among the men about women and immodesty in the church. And there was a little discussion about men in that meeting, but mainly it's focused on females. Congregation said that this is a problem. Before that meeting ended, there was a man, a Christian, who said, "I volunteer. I will have a measuring device, and I will measure the dresses and the skirts for women that come to services." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having someone who says, "We will go ahead and check you out. We're going to check out your attire to make sure that it is not too short, too high, too sheer, too loose, too small, or clinging to you like a second skin." I suspect that if that were ever said or done, people would rise up in force and say, no, we are not going to do that. I can determine what is modest. That is my decision. Well, you know what? God says, that's right. You decide. But you don't decide because of the government. You don't decide because of majority rule or majority opinion. You decide because God says you take those parts which are designed to be secret, not exposed. You keep those covered. And you decide by taking that principle from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, that principle which says, "Come ye out, be separate, be different. Don't follow the path of the unsaved." Modesty is not really all that hard. And we don't need a modesty monitor. We simply need the right thinking of a Christian. Will we live that way? Let's make sure that we do. Today, tomorrow, and every day.